Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight back again. We had taken a little bit of a break, but we are back. And for today, we are going to be getting into the hard economics, of the week, because it is a Friday, as is our tradition and our way of doing things on the Business Day Spotlight. And for today, we're going to be focusing on the construction sector, the construction industry, just to see what's going on, but not just in South Africa, but what's going on around the world, because COVID-19 was that all-encompassing event that saw countries around the world all going through their own economic upheaval. And at the moment, even as countries are trying to recover, we see a lot of countries still suffering from a lot of the same things, such as the same inflationary pressures, rising fuel costs, and the like. That is something that is not isolated to any one part of the world. It's something that everyone is going through. And when we talk about economic recovery, what has tended to happen, at least in the last 100 to 200 years, is that economic recovery is after a depression, a recession, or a huge economic downturn tend to be supported by construction. And that construction can happen through the public or private sector, but a lot of the time we've seen a lot of public works out of the Great Depression, railroads, that type of thing, that we saw schools, hospitals, roads. We tend to see those being built usually by the state as a way to start that stimulus in the economy. But right now, we are going to be talking to Dr. Nicholas Fernley, who is the head of construction forecasting, and he's joining us all the way from Australia just to get a sense of what's going on. He is from Oxford Economics. Dr. Fernley, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I think maybe just before we get into the discussion around construction, maybe you could give us a little bit of insight. You are joining us, from your side in Australia. We've spoken to a number of your colleagues from Oxford Economics in the past, as well as your affiliate NKC Economics here in Africa. Maybe you could give us a little bit of insight into the type of work that you're doing in your parts of the world and the type of research and numbers that you usually keep an eye on.
Sure. So in 2017, Oxford Economics took over what in Australia was called BIS Shrapnel and formed what we now call BIS Oxford Economics, which is part of the Oxford Economics Group. BIS Shrapnel was at the time the market leader for construction forecasting in Australia. We've been doing construction forecasts in Australia for over 50 years. We've also been forecasting construction activity in the Southeast Asian region for 25 years. And so with the takeover from Oxford Economics, we've been able to expand our forecasting more globally using Oxford Economics as a global economic model and demographic models, etc. We've been able to build out construction models for the Americas, Europe, and also the Middle East. And we've packaged these together into a global construction model for clients who want to be able to compare construction activity on more of a global scale as opposed to a regional or national level.
No, that sounds like, quite a bit of good background that you guys actually have, as BIS and now Oxford Economics over in that part of the world. So maybe that then helps us to begin, this discussion around construction. And I think before we get into what's currently happening, maybe you could give us a little bit of insight into what is the place of construction at the moment. I think in my opening remarks, you heard me talking about how construction has tended to play a big part in economic recoveries after a downturn. Do you still see construction in 2022 still playing that big role when countries' economies are trying to get out of a downturn? Or would you say there have been any shifts along the way?
Yeah, we've definitely seen public funds flowing into the construction sector. As you highlighted in your introduction, governments often use the public sector construction activity to help stimulate the economy following a downturn. And we often find that investments in the economy's productive potential often do prove to be a key driver of economic recoveries. And this time it doesn't seem to be any different. We've had significant packages passed in the US with the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. In Europe, we've got the Next Gen EU funding coming through. Also in the Asia Pacific region, we've had quite a number of government-funded major projects get off the ground. So governments are very much looking at civil engineering construction activity as being a way to come out of the downturn. One thing that we have seen playing through as well is that with lockdowns over 2020 and 2021, many people started looking around their home lives, and we've seen significant investment in single family dwellings, so residential construction activity, as people's household savings have built up. We've also had very accommodative monetary policy. And so we've had significant increase in residential construction activity over 2021. And so that's slowing down now, and we're seeing a transition from this residential boom that we had into a civil engineering construction boom.
That's actually an interesting trend that you're highlighting there, because I do remember that when I was reading the note from your team, one of the things I was noting was the fact that you had broken it down to residential building, non-residential building construction, as well as the civil engineering construction. Outside of the residential piece, what do we mean by the non-residential? The non-residential and commercial part, and then the civil part, because one would expect, at least at this point, that there would be that tussle between your public and private sector players, especially on the commercial side, trying to, put in that investment and trying to come back. But it does seem as if the civil works seem to still be outpacing what's going on in the private sector.
So generally break construction activity down into building construction and civil engineering. So anything that's got a roof is essentially a building, and so that gets captured by either residential building or non-residential building activity. Obviously, residential building is a building that someone lives in, so it's a house or an apartment, whereas a non-residential building will be an office, a factory, a warehouse, a hospital, etc. Civil engineering is any construction activity that doesn't have a roof. So that's your roads, your railways, your utilities, things like that. So in terms of the breakdown, we tend to have the civil engineering sector being much more government funded, whereas the non-residential building sector, you've got the commercial and you've got the industrial side, which are very much private sector driven, but you've also got the social side. So often education and healthcare are more government funded. So you get a mix of the public and the private sector playing through in those sectors.
So from what you're seeing right now, maybe you could break down the numbers as well, because just noting from the information from your team, the numbers are quite extraordinary when one, looks at some of the growth forecasts that your team has put together. And I say huge numbers because some of the numbers that I'm seeing, at least within the South African context, are multiples higher than the GDP of South Africa itself.
Yeah, so the strongest growing sector over the next year and over the coming years will be civil engineering construction activity, very much being driven by these major government packages that we're seeing throughout the world, and also by stimulus in China to help combat the falling real estate market there. The slowest growing sector will be residential construction activity, and this is largely as a result of activity coming off that boom that I previously discussed. So the sector is going to grow much slower over the next few years, but that's because it's coming off a much higher base. The non-residential building sector is sort of in the middle. We've got a slower recovery in commercial building construction activity. So this is your offices, but also your hotels. And there's a bit of uncertainty in this market because we're still not quite sure what the future looks like in terms of how many days people are going to be working in the offices. Are we going to go back to full-time? Are we going to stay in sort of a part-time working from home hybrid? And this uncertainty we're seeing is causing a sort of softening in investment in these markets. There are exceptions. So, for example, South Korea has a very strong investment in office markets at the moment because the market is just so tight and absorption rates are quite high. And so there's significant investment flowing through there. We're seeing significant funding as well come through on the industrial sector side. Generally throughout the world, this industrial sector includes warehousing. And with COVID, we've had a shift towards retail spending in shops to more people buying things online. And this has necessitated an increase in warehousing space to support this sort of framework.
One of the things I'm curious about with the type of breakdown that you've given to us now is, do we see similar trends happening around the world, or do you say that, specific regions? Earlier on, you were highlighting the fact that we've seen, different government programs, for example, in the US, in Europe, Asia Pacific, etc. So would you say that the trend has been the same, or would you say that that mix that you are highlighting for us is a bit different in some of the regions that you're looking at?
Yeah, so we do have this global narrative that's playing through, but there is different stories playing through in different regions as well. So the residential boom was generally true throughout the world, but much more true in the Americas, particularly in the US. The civil engineering upswing is very much coming through across most of the world, but it's much truer as well in the Americas and in the Asia Pacific region, and also Australia and New Zealand. In Europe, the story is a little bit different because the next generation EU funding includes significant investment in decarbonizing the building stock as part of the European Union's move to hit greenhouse gas emission targets. And so this is going to lead to significant investment in non-residential building as they upgrade the building stock to help reach these decarbonization targets.
The other one, you know, when it comes to all of this stuff, and especially because we are seeing that slight disparity with what's going on in different parts of the world, like you said, there is a bit of a mix because not every country, you know, can be treated like a monolith, which is understood. But one of the things that has been common around the world is this issue of inflation. How has that sort of fed into construction prospects? Has it? Because I can imagine that when it comes to, I guess, inputs, input costs into those construction projects have probably, I would expect that they've shot up, but maybe you have a different view from the data that you have.
No, you're very much correct. We've actually saw inflation coming through for building construction inputs much earlier than it came through in the rest of the economy. And a big part of this is that we had this increase in demand, particularly for residential building, at a time when global supply chains were very constrained. And so this mismatch of demand and supply, as economists will always say, plays out in prices. So we saw significant increase in, say, wood prices over the COVID pandemic as a result of demand not being able to be matched by supply. Building construction material is also quite bulky and low value compared to other goods. And so it's much more susceptible to increased transit costs, and supply chain issues tend to play through much more on the construction side. So we've seen significant ramp up in construction costs. Cost of building a single family dwelling in the US increased 12% over 2021, which we're seeing these sort of stories play out throughout the world. This is having an impact on construction spend, because as you can imagine, if things cost more, people just can't pay for them as much. And so we've got some instances where you've got this input cost inflation, which will then lead to project delays and in some cases project cancellations. So it's very much affecting the sector.
I can certainly imagine that it would, because Not everyone is going to react to it differently, but on the adverse side, you do have those cancellations, which will likely have an impact on whatever labor would likely have taken part in those projects. Because usually construction projects tend to have a lot that's going on, from transport to the labor of the builders themselves, the architects, the financing side of things, etc. So canceling projects, becomes very tough. But one can also imagine that for those that are determined, you see your input costs rising, you then start struggling with, do you borrow more money? Are you willing to go out to the markets and, get more money from the banks at whatever the interest rates are right now, especially in this cycle right now where you see a lot of central banks are trying to hike their interest rates? What does that do for the type of borrowing that's happening in the sector? And also at the same time, the type of projects that ends up actually being completed right now.
Yeah, it certainly has an impact, and increasing interest rates is going to come through and affect housing construction activity simply because people won't be able to afford to borrow as much because the repayments are higher. There's also implications, say, on the civil engineering side as well. As government's budgets become stretched, borrowing costs go up, and especially if governments then start looking at budget repair, it's going to come through in government investment and therefore reduce funding in the future to civil engineering construction activity. On the commercial and industrial side, it's the same factors playing through. Increased borrowing costs means that you need to get a greater return on your investment. And so it will tend to lead to a softening in activity.
No, most certainly. And I think what's most concerning, at least from my side, hearing you talking, is the fact that construction has tended to be this go-to when it comes to economic recovery. But in this particular instance, that economic recovery is stymied in some way by all of these different factors that you're talking about that are hurting the construction industry, which tends to be such a key piece of a recovery. So it sort of feels like a chicken versus the egg type of situation of, you know, do you sort of just bulldoze and say, okay, fine, as governments or whatever, we're going to just push forward with these construction projects because we need to stimulate the economies, or do you find yourselves in a situation where some measure of austerity that does need to come through, because you do need to be prudent as governments in how you spend the money? It feels like it's a bit of a catch-22, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a tough issue for governments to be grappling with. You've got places as well like Australia where they had a very strong construction pipeline in place well before the coronavirus pandemic. And we've seen a number of projects being delayed and open discussion about cancelling some of them simply because the costs have gone up and there's much more difficulty now sourcing both labour and material to be able to get through this project work.
No, most certainly. And then as we end off for today's discussion, Nicholas, maybe you could give us one of the inescapable things that is happening, you know, today in May 2022 is the fact that it's been roughly 10 to 11 weeks since Vladimir Putin and Russia invaded Ukraine. A lot of people thought it was going to be one of those very short sort of episodes, but we still continue to see it happening right now. Maybe you could give us a little bit of insight into how, in some of the ways that something like that has affected the construction industry globally.
Well, the most obvious one has been the increase in energy costs. We've had a higher oil price, which increases transportation costs. And this construction sector is more susceptible to these than other parts of the economy. We've obviously had pretty much construction activity stopping in Ukraine. Russia's also going to go through a significant fall in construction activity as a result of Western sanctions. In Europe, we're going to see significant investment in energy infrastructure as a result of their dependence on Russian energy. The European Union, following the invasion, has openly looked for to diversify their energy supply. This won't necessarily be in renewable energy, though. It's a good opportunity for the European Union to invest more in renewable energy, but that tends to be more of a long-term solution, and they need to find quicker ways to shore up their energy supply. So we're seeing significant investment in, say, LNG import terminals and also gas pipelines connecting, say, Norway to Poland, and I think Germany and Norway are also investigating another pipeline there. And this risks actually locking in some more carbon-intensive energy infrastructure as opposed to more of a renewable green energy infrastructure.
No, most certainly. And especially on those energy costs, it's quite a tough one. And especially when one looks at the places where fuel costs, because things need to be transported from everywhere, you know, whether it's cement, whether it's wood, whether it's concrete, steel, all of those, you know, large building inputs, they need to be transported from ports. They need to be transported from factories. And if the costs have, you know, risen by 40-50% in certain cases, then it's quite a tough one. I'm thinking about areas like the UK, where the price of fuel is about about to touch, that £2 per liter, type of level, you know, so it's quite a tough one. But on the last point, Nicholas, for us, we've spoken quite a bit, construction wise about what's going on in places like the US. You've given us a view of Australia, Europe, etc. But is there any insight into what's going on, in the emerging markets?
Yes, so at the moment, our coverage of emerging markets is very much in the Latin America and Asia Pacific region. We're still expanding the countries that we include in our service, and Africa is very much on the next line in our focus. When we look at the world emerging markets as a whole, China is very much the one that dominates construction activity. They are the world's largest construction markets. What we've got there is weakening in residential construction activity as a result of the real estate downturn there. So we've had significant drop in investment, residential construction activity. Owner-occupier residential construction activities holding up as a result of continual urbanisation we're seeing within the country. But we're expecting significant government stimulus towards civil engineering activity to help shore up the economy, particularly in the face of recent COVID lockdowns in Shanghai.
So that's been Edward talking to Dr. Nicholas Fernley, who is the head of global construction forecasting over at Oxford Economics. He was talking to us from Australia, giving us some insight into what's going on globally in the sector. Some of the key things that he is talking about is the fact that during COVID-19, there was a little bit of a boom when it came to residential building construction. But over the last couple of months, you know, to a year, one of the things that are now taking off is on the commercial side, but more on the civil engineering side, because you see a lot of public works and governments coming in to fund those things, because even in 2022, construction is still a big piece of the way in which economies recover, you know, from a downturn. Big source of jobs, at the same time, big source of funding and financing, and then at the same time, an indicator of where a country or an economy is on the path to recovery. But one of the things that is, you know, that is a struggle is the fact that as important as that construction is, we have a lot of factors that are hindering construction around the world, most particularly input cost inflation, because of what's going on around the world. Even before the Russia-Ukraine crisis came out, globally, inflation had been flagged as a big headwind that government, central banks, private sector players were all trying to grapple with, and that has been exacerbated by what's going on in terms of the oil price and the energy costs, which are then filtering into what's going on in the construction industry. And now a lot of those projects either being delayed or outright being cancelled around the world. But in the emerging markets, where South Africa tends to find itself, China is the biggest construction market around the world. But on the civil side, that seems to be, you know, where things are really happening, and on the commercial side. And we're going to wait to see how that actually develops down the line. This will definitely be a good conversation to continue going into, just to watch where we are in the next 3 months, 6 months to a year. So that's been it. Dr. Fernley, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very important discussion just around what's going on in the construction center sector globally. And I think it was one of those things where I wanted to start on a global level, because it would be great for us to then extend this conversation to see what's going on in South Africa. Because as we said at the beginning, this is one of those things that is common around the world, to say that the COVID-19 experience has been common. It has affected economies in different ways. But the fact that there has been economic upheaval has been common around the world, and the fact that we are now in that phase where a lot of countries around the world are all trying to recover is a common thing around the world. So all the different factors that were being spoken about in terms of the construction sector, as they're affecting Asia Pacific, Latin America, China, what's going on in Europe, the United States, all of it is likely to have some parallels with what's going on in the local South African sector. And we know that from the different budget speeches that we've had, government has been prioritizing this what you call this public works of some sort, just as a way to start that stimulation. So that is something that the local economy is feeling. So we wait to see how all of this is going to play out, because the way it plays out there is likely going to be similar to how it plays out here. What is very sad, as I said at the end, is the fact that the construction sector, which is so important for what and how a recovery happens in an economy, is being stifled by all of these different factors. So a chicken and egg situation. Do you push forward and try to stimulate your economy through construction, or do you hold back, right, as an economy? Because the nice thing about the construction sector is the fact that it's so labor intensive. So you know that you're going to absorb a lot of people that really do need jobs, employment, that then filters into the retail sector, healthcare, education, entertainment, all of these other things. It's a cycle, right? That is the economy. So anything that we can do to increase the amount of money that's going into consumer pockets in the form of employment, jobs, work, support of some sort that is surrounding construction, you know, would really be good. So we wait to see how all of that is going to develop. But one does hope that that pickup is something that does actually happen, so that we can see some of those recoveries filtering through. And then lastly, the energy costs. We keep talking about energy costs and what they're doing to inflation and all of that. What is that going to, how long is this going to be a factor? All right. I think at the moment that is the big question. That is a big uncertainty. If someone could make some type of a bet, you know, on this, look into a crystal ball, they would probably be in for a huge payday, because literally this is all that everyone is trying to understand. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.